Beautiful, thank you. Our gospel reading is found in John, the 21st chapter, verses 1 and following. We'll be looking at the stories of Jesus following the resurrection. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It appeared this way: Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in all the fish because there was such a large number. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he put on his outer garment and jumped into the water. And other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not too far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." Simon Peter climbed back aboard the boat and helped drag the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 in all. But even with so many fish, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and then did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Then the third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to Peter, "Follow me." Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts. Well, this morning, I'd like us to think about forgiveness. But first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. There was a small town prosecuting attorney who called his first witness to the stand. It was a grandmotherly, elderly woman with white hair. He approached her and said, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat, you manipulate people and talk about them behind their back. You think you're a big shot, but you don't have the brains to realize you will never amount to anything. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the courtroom and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" She said, "Why, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster also. I used to babysit for him, and he too has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, bigoted, and he has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." The courtroom erupted in all kinds of laughter, and the judge wrapped the courtroom to silence. He called the two counselors to his bench, and he said in a quiet voice, "If either of you asked her if she knows me, I'll jail you for contempt." Well, all of us have some shortcomings and failures in life. All of us need forgiveness. And this morning, I'd like us to think about God's transforming power of forgiveness and grace. This story of Peter demonstrates God's promise of forgiveness tremendously. And just to recap the highlights of that story, Peter is... he's with the other disciples, and he'd seen the resurrected Lord. Jesus had appeared to them, but it's likely that Peter was weighed down by his failure, by his guilt, the way he had denied Christ 3 times. And so he tells the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." Now notice he didn't ask the other disciples to go with him. But friends sometimes know when there's something wrong. And so the other disciples said, "Peter, we'll go fishing with you." And so they went out. And they fished all night long. It's reminiscent of when Jesus first called disciples. They fished all night long. They didn't catch anything. And then in the dawn, in just the light of day, while they saw a figure on the shore, and it was Jesus, but they didn't recognize him yet. And Jesus called to him and said, "Friends, do you have any fish?" And they said, "No, we fished all night and we haven't caught anything." And he said, "Well, cast your net down on the other side of the boat." And when they did that, all of a sudden they caught the fish. John recognized it was Jesus, and he yelled, "It's the Lord." And Peter, with that, jumped into the water and started rushing to shore. And Jesus said, "Come, bring the fish." And so Peter went back out and helped them ashore. There was 153 fish in the net. It was a huge catch, and they were surprised that the nets didn't break. And so Jesus had made a fire and had bread there, put the fish on. And you know, there's something about the healing process sometimes of fellowship with friends, with eating, and there's a healing process. Jesus knew the practical needs of everyday life, and in great compassion, he made breakfast for the disciples. After breakfast, he looked at Peter in front of all those other disciples, all the disciples who knew of Peter's failure, and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter might have even looked down and said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Then Jesus looked at him and said, "Then feed my little lambs." And then Jesus looked at Peter again and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said again, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then one more time, Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter was hurting by now and said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." It's as if for every time that Peter had failed and denied Christ, when there was the threat of him being killed along with Jesus being crucified, that Jesus reached out and personally came to Peter, called him by name, and offered him forgiveness. But not just forgiveness. Peter also was given encouragement to take on the ministry and mission of his life when Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." There's something interesting also that happens. It's not as apparent in our English translation. That is this. When Jesus first looked at Peter, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" And the word for love that he used is agape love. It's divine love. "Peter, do you love me?" With agape love, with divine love. And when Peter answered Jesus, he really didn't give him a full yes. He said, "Yes, Lord, I love you," phileo love, friendship love. Maybe Peter didn't feel like he could stretch quite to divine love. And Jesus said at that moment, "Feed my little lambs." As if like, well, take care of the little lambs. And then Jesus looked at Peter again and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Again, agape love. And Peter again said, "Lord, you know I love you," phileo love, friendship love. Peter still didn't feel like he had all that he needed for divine love, maybe, in that moment. And when Jesus, the third time, looked at Peter, Jesus used the word phileo. "Peter, do you love me?" Friendship love. As if Jesus understood his struggles. And then he says, "Feed my sheep." Not just the little lambs, but the big sheep. All of them. Reinstituting his ministry. It's as if when Jesus does that, he's saying, "Listen, Peter, I know you're struggling with this, but I love you. And I believe in you." Because in that moment, Jesus said, "The friendship love is okay, but one day you will love me in a great love." And it was at that point that Jesus said, one day, you will stretch out your hands and you will be led to places where you do not want to go. Indicating that Peter would one day actually go through the crucifixion himself, though not quite like the Lord. In other words, "Peter, I believe in you, and in front of all the other disciples, you're going to do great things. I believe in you. I know you're going to attain to divine love. You're going to be a leader. You're going to build the church. You're going to feed my sheep, both the small and the large and the great and everything in between." And that had to be a real healing moment for Peter. Peter went on to be one of the great disciples and to preach the gospel to lots of people. In fact, was the one who preached on the day of Pentecost when thousands of people joined the church, the birthday of the church. Later in life, Peter became a martyr for the Christian church and did stretch out his arms on a cross. And even though Peter maybe didn't feel like he could do it then, in that moment, God had given him strength enough because Jesus loved him so much that he not only forgave him, but forgave him three times in front of all the other disciples and said, "I believe in you. I know you're going to do great things."
And who among us doesn't need forgiveness sometimes? Maybe we haven't denied the Lord, but we certainly have fallen short along the way of life. All of us have sins and shortcomings and failures in life, and all of us need to hear Jesus' words of forgiveness, of love and grace, and even more, I believe in you, that we have a ministry and mission that God has given each one of us personally. And what a powerful story of forgiveness there. But it's not just the forgiving grace that God offers us, but also we're supposed to offer others forgiveness as well. And sometimes it's hard to hear the words of forgiveness ourselves, but then it's even harder to extend forgiveness to others. And as we look at John's words this morning, when John writes this, he says, "This is the message we've heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." And Jesus offers us that forgiveness, but also challenges us to be part of the light, to extend forgiveness to others. Just as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to, "Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or, "Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us." And we're to participate in that grace and love to others, and that's not easy. And that begs the question, too, I suppose, that when we look at an event like this tragedy, the Boston Marathon bombing, and such a heinous crime, that you say, can you forgive that person? I wouldn't even want to get to challenge myself, to put myself in the place of the people who've lost a loved one or lost limbs. But Jesus' challenge is to extend the forgiveness. And I think sometimes for all of us, we just need to take the first step, and God will guide us along the way. So recognize what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness doesn't make whatever happened and say that it was right. It does not. Forgiveness doesn't say that it was okay. Forgiveness doesn't even necessarily bring reconciliation. That takes two people. But forgiveness is a first step that can bring reconciliation. Forgiveness is a first step that can bring grace and love to a person who otherwise might only know darkness and shame. I hope none of us have to endure a tragedy like some of the folks who've endured tragedies over the last few weeks in our nation. But all of us have given opportunities where someone has wronged us in some way. We're able to offer forgiveness and grace. And sometimes the events of our past, difficult as unjust as they are, become a weight that just weigh us down. Sometimes we just need to say, "God, give me the grace to forgive that person." Not even necessarily because you want to help them, well, that would be nice, but set me free. Set me free from anger, from holding feelings of injustice. Let me let that go and be part of the light that you're bringing into a darkened world. All of us have the challenges of forgiveness, and sometimes that can make such a difference in a person's life. True story, more than a century ago, there was a young man who was on the English battlefield. He was just a young soldier, and when the shots rang out, he got so scared he ran away. And for the rest of his life, he lived through his younger years, he feared that his being a traitor would be found out. And he lived in fear that he'd have a knock at the door and be taken and tried for desertion and even executed. He was so worried about that. And one day there was a knock at the door, and there was a letter that was given to him. And the letter was an invitation from the King of England to come to the royal castle. And he was filled with incredible fear because he thought that his desertion had been found out. But he decided he couldn't ignore it any longer. And so he went to the castle, and the king invited him to sit down. And at that moment, the king reached over and gave him a letter. It was a letter of pardon. It was a letter of forgiveness. And when he read it, there were tears in his eyes. And then the king said, "Now we can sit down and have a conversation." It was a young astronomer, William Herschel, who went on to do great things in astronomy. And he did it because he was given the grace to be forgiven and a second chance in life. Sometimes you and I are the person who can give someone else a second chance, and sometimes we're the person who's given a second chance. In all these things, we know God's grace in a powerful way that touches people's hearts and lives. I'm from Pennsylvania, and back in 2006, you may remember the story. It was a horrible day in October, and an individual walked into an Amish schoolhouse and with a gun in his hand ordered all the teachers and all the boys to leave the schoolhouse. And then he opened fire on the young girls that were left. Five girls were killed, the rest were critically injured. One room Amish schoolhouse. And the police stormed the building, shot him. It was a horrible story to be unfolded. But before the sun set, while it was still daylight, the leaders of that Amish community and the parents of the kids who had been killed and shot came before national TV and made a statement of forgiveness to this man. Now, that didn't make it okay for what he did, but it was shocking to see. And they believed in extending grace before the sun goes down. And they pray the Lord's Prayer 3 to 5 times a day. Now, that's a miracle of forgiveness. And you say, was it something that they did with these? No. In fact, there was a group of scholars actually who study the Amish, and they interviewed them and wrote a book, and the book is entitled Amish Grace. And one of the mothers said this sometime later, whose daughter was killed. She said, forgiveness stretches out over time, but you have to start out with the will to forgive. The bitterness may re-enter your mind from time to time, and then you have to think about forgiveness again. She struggled with forgiveness, but God gave her the grace to extend that forgiveness. I hope none of us have to struggle like that. But that moment was a moment when the nation and even the world looked at divine forgiveness in a way that no one touched by that could ever forget. Jesus comes to each of us and offers us forgiveness in a powerful way. And I love what it says here. If we continue, it says in 1 John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. It's a beautiful verse. I love that. Believe, receive equals become. That scripture verse in John that says if we believe in Jesus Christ and receive him in our hearts, then we become sons and daughters of God. That God transforms us and forgives us, and that grace can be a powerful influence in our life. And we may struggle with forgiving others, but the challenge God gives us is to do exactly that. And if we do, we can touch other people's lives with a grace and love that's powerful enough to help change the world and help us to be part of God's love. We've looked at 3 stories of grace that transform lives. One was Mary. She was filled with anxiety and fear outside the tomb, and Jesus called her personally by her name. And just when he said her name, Mary, she knew it was the Lord, and her life was filled with joy and with faith. And then we looked at Thomas, whose life was full of fear and doubt, and Jesus came and appeared to him and said, Thomas, look at my hands, look at the nail prints, put your hand in my side where the spear was driven in. And Thomas' doubt was changed and transformed to faith and a strong belief. And then Peter, who was filled with guilt and failure, and Jesus came personally and called him by name and said, Peter, do you love me? And not once, but 3 times, Jesus offered him forgiveness and grace and reinstituted him and reinstated his ministry. Think about this story in closing. More than a century ago, in the late 1700s, there was a young man, and at the age of 7, he lost his mother. His father was cruel and harsh on him, and a year later, his father remarried, but his stepmother was hard on him as well, and he rebelled so hard. His father sent him to a military school. And there in the military school, he rebelled again. Rebelled so hard that at the age of 10, he left the military school and became an apprentice in a captain's ship. And he tried to learn the art of navigation. And as he did so, he rebelled against God and just said he gave his life to evil and the devil and lived a life of debauchery. He learned the slave trade business. As he worked on that ship, first as a crewman and then as a navigator, and learned the art of navigation, why he was prized for his navigation, but he always caused some rebellion among the crew. And one time he got the crew drunk and the captain was so angry with him, he threw him overboard. And then because he couldn't swim, the captain harpooned him and drew him in with a harpoon. And for the rest of his life, he had a huge scar on his side and his hip where the harpoon had hit him and left a huge gash. Sometimes he would be on this slave ship with more than 600 slaves, taking them to America. And he was so full of shame and guilt of what he had done. And the captain again threw him into hold, and he became a servant of the slaves. So low was he regarded on the ship. And one night, his life was so low that he wanted to commit suicide. And he looked up into the floorboards of the ship, into the starry night, and he cried out to God, remembering his mother's words to him about God's grace and God's love. And he said, I'm a sinner, please save me, forgive me. And he said, in that moment, God's grace shone through in an incredible way. He ended up leaving that ship, He married his childhood sweetheart, was in the ministry for more than 30 years. And everywhere he went, he told the story of God's grace and God's love and God's power, and people packed the buildings. By now, you may know the story of John Newton. And he wrote these words of amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious it did that grace appear the hour I first believed. God's grace and God's love is so powerful that it transforms our hearts and lives. You and I have probably never been a slave ship captain, nor have we done some of the things that other people have done, but all of us can reach out and know that we have done some wrong things in our life, and know with confidence that, like Peter, Jesus comes to us and offers us forgiveness and grace, a position of ministry and mission in our world, and that God loves us and God will be with us all of life. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for your love, a love that calls us to forgiveness and grace and mercy, and we offer our lives to you, our failures, our shortcomings, our sins, and ask you to forgive us. We accept your love and your grace and ask for the transforming power of your love and your Holy Spirit. Give us grace and mercy anew. And may we see the springtime of new life in our lives, a second chance, a new beginning. And help us, Lord, through your grace, to also extend forgiveness to others through your power and to your glory. Amen.